1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." And the Bible is admonishing you and I, as Apostle Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, that the Lord wants to increase and abound in love toward us. God loves us, and he wants in us to grow a love. It's like the two couples who were having dinner at a nice restaurant. You had the young couple that came in holding hands, and she had him by the arm, and they came just kind of bounding into the restaurant and all smiles and giggles, you know, and sat down at the restaurant booth there and began to study the menu and what they were going to order. And they were talking and smiling and looking in each other's eyes and googly-eyeing and gazing and playing footsies under the table. And I mean, it was just a grand time that they were having. And they ordered a meal, and they really didn't care about the meal. They were talking and laughing and enjoying their time together and just taking in the moment. And they didn't really finish the meal, but that didn't matter. And they got done, and they got up, and he was sure to get her chair and help her get her coat on. And they walked out of the restaurant arm in arm and just really enjoying the time that they were sharing together. And he got to the door there at the restaurant for her and gave his arm that he could help her journey through the treacherous walk through the parking lot, and got to the car, and he got her door and made sure that she was in and kind of tucked her dress in so that nothing would be damaged, and then closed the door and then ran around to get in. And by the time he got in, she had already scooted over, and he got the car started and they drove off. And it was just apparent in every way possible, these two people were in love. Then you have the other couple who went to dinner, and they were slightly older. They had been married a while, and they walked in and were looking for a table, and the stewardess there said that the greeter there said that she would take and get him to a table. And so he just kind of took off after the young lady, and the wife was trying to keep up, you know, and they got to the table and got their menus and everything and didn't really have a lot to talk about. They're kind of checking texts and emails and everything. And then they came back to get their meal order, and they ordered, and they really enjoyed the food they got. And they kind of focused more on that than they did each other, you know, and made sure they got everything eaten and enjoyed the meal, kind of stared out the window a little bit, didn't really do much talking, and you know, kind of enjoyed an evening together, you know. And then it was time to go, and they felt like they had their fill. And so they got up and they left the restaurant. And boy, he kind of went barreling out of there. By the time she got to the door, she got there just in time for it to slam in her face, you know. And so she was trying to then get out. And by the time she got out to the car, he already had the car started, you know. And by the time she got in the car and got her door closed, he had it reversed and it was time to go. And they were as far apart in that car as you possibly could be. Didn't really talk one to another very much. And that was their evening out. If we're not careful, that's what happens in our marriage relationships. It goes from this time of not being able to be together enough, not being able to be around each other enough, not having enough time and enough events together, to when we are together, it's not what it used to be, and it certainly is not what it could be. And this doesn't have to be. And that's what we have to be convinced of together this morning, that it is God's will for our love to grow and for our relationships to continue to blossom. It's imperative, and it's clear in the admonition given in our text through the Apostle Paul under the leading of the Spirit, that God wants to grow, increase, and abound our love. So God wants in your marriage, in mine, our love to increase and abound one toward the other. God wants to expand your relationship, to continue to develop your relationship. He wants the best days of your relationship to be today and in the future. Now, we've got to look at some biblical principles, though, from the Word of God when it comes to growth. that we need in our marriages if they're going to be relationships where love is growing. What are they? Principle number one, we must be saved. Now, a foundational principle is the need of being born again. Why? Because it is very dangerous to think that we can express love one towards the other in a growing way if we do not possess the love of God. So we first must know Jesus Christ is our Savior and being dwelt by the Spirit of God. Notice in 1 John 4, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, and for God is love. And so if you and I do not have a relationship with God, then we cannot possess the love of God, and we cannot give the kind of love that our spouse so desperately needs. Peter confirms this in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How is that done? Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If love is absent in your marriage this morning, then I want to challenge you. That is an indication that either you do not have a relationship with the Father, or your fellowship with Him is very weak. In either case, is certainly a case for alarm. We want in our class this morning to be sure that we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We want to be sure that we are walking with Him faithfully. And it's my encouragement to you this morning to know these things. And there might be one here today that says, Brother Earl, I don't know that. And we would love an opportunity to share that with you from God's Word. But that's a principle we must have as a bedrock if our love is going to grow. We must be saved. Secondly, we must be Spirit-filled. Now, it's important to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. This happens at salvation. In fact, if you're in the service at 8:30, you heard Pastor touch on this. If you're going at 11, you'll get to hear a great message, and he touches on this very fact in the message this morning. But not only must we be indwelt by the Spirit of God, but we must also be filled by the Spirit of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, Ephesians 5:18 says this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, the Bible is encouraging you and I, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Why? Because when somebody is drunk, then they are not themselves, right? They are under the influence, we would call it. And that influence causes them to think differently, act differently, say things differently, and so on. And God says, don't do that, but be filled by the Spirit of God. When you are filled by the Spirit of God, then you're not thinking like you normally would. You're not doing like you normally would. You're not responding like you normally would. You're responding the way that God wants you to respond. You're thinking the way that God wants you to think, and you're speaking the way that God wants you to speak. It's so important to be filled with the Spirit of God. And don't forget, in Galatians 5:22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love. So if you and I are going to love our spouse like we should, and if our love is going to grow, we've got to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have to have a relationship with God. We have to know that we are saved and heaven is our home. Then we need to be filled by the Spirit of God. We need to be living in His power and responding in His grace, that our love may abound, may increase, and may grow one to the other. Now you say, Brother Rule, these are super basic principles. They are. But I want to tell you something. Basics are important. How many of you have a child in sports? How many of you have a child in sports in some way? Okay. Usually when a season gets underway, whether it's football, basketball, soccer, you know, whatever it is, usually those first couple of practices are doing what? Working on the basics. Let's make sure if it's basketball that we can dribble, that we can pass. If it's baseball, you know, do we know where first base is? And do we know, you know, how to get a grounder, or how to make a hit, or whatever. If it's soccer, we're going over the basics, the fundamentals of that sport. Because if our children don't understand the basics, they won't excel, they won't understand. And so it is in marriage. We want great marriages in His design. But that's not going to happen if we're not doing the basic things well. And we have to understand these basic things. We have to know Christ as our Savior and be filled with the Spirit of God. But then thirdly, we need to pray for love. Pray for love. Now here's a novel thought, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. And if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And let me just pause and ask a question this morning, class. Is it God's will for you to love your spouse?
Amen.
Yes, right? It's God's will for you to love your spouse. I think we can all agree on that emphatically. God wants you to love your spouse. So I want to ask you a question this morning that I don't want you to answer out loud. Do you love your spouse right now more than you ever have before? God wants you to love your spouse. Do you? Is it better now than it has ever been? And then can I ask you a question? Is this something you pray for? Do you ask God to help you love your spouse like you never have before? Do you pray for love? God wants you and I to pray in His will. It's God's will that you and I would love our spouse, and this is something we should pray for. Lord, help us to love our spouse as we should and like we never have before. It is certainly God's will. And then notice in verse number 15, and if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So God has a progressive guarantee, and here it is. We've got to ask according to His will. Is it God's will that we love our spouse? Absolutely. Then He promises, I'll hear you. And when He hears, He will answer. So you may be in the room this morning, and if you have the opportunity to communicate to me somehow covertly, you might say, Brother Earl, to be honest with you, we're sitting here, we're in class this morning, but our marital love really is not well. It's not what it used to be. It's a bit sluggish. And to be honest with you, it's a little discouraging, but we're here, and I'm so glad you're here. And I want to encourage you that the revival of love in your marriage is waiting on the two of you to go to God from the heart in prayer and asking Him to give you love for your spouse. James 4:2 says, you lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war yet. You have not because you ask not. Sometimes we don't have in our relationship what we desire to have because we're not asking God for it. We can spend all day long talking to each other about, you said this and you did that and I interpreted this way and I felt this way. And it can just feel like a dialogue that never ceases. And sometimes we spend more time talking to men than we do talking to God. And sometimes the answer to that is just to go to God in a moment of prayer and say, God, would you please help me to love? Would you please help me to have more love in my heart for my spouse and to show them that? We need to pray for love. That's a good prayer request for all of us to have. We want strong marriages. We want love. We need to pray for that love. Number four, then we need to study biblical love. We need to study biblical love. The Bible says in Philippians 1:9 is where we find this principle. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. God says, I want your love to abound more and more in knowledge. I want you to know more about love. I was studying for this lesson this week, and I was thinking about the remainder of 2016. If we don't count today because you're here, good job. We have 10 Sundays left in this year, starting next Sunday, October the 23rd. Wouldn't it be cool if everybody in here said, I'm going to be here 10 out of 10? If this is the opportunity to come to open God's Word and to study biblical love, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here, an open mind, an open heart, a ready pen, and a ready ear to hear the truth of the Word of God and apply it to my life and apply it to our relationship. And I want to encourage you, be faithful to the opportunities to study biblical love, attending church and class faithfully, where the Bible encourages us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. We've got 10 or 11 weeks left in the year. Read a good book on marriage. Maybe read it together, or both of you read it and then discuss it. But that might be a good idea between now and the end of the year. I thought about taking an elderly couple out for a meal. Go find a brother and Mrs. Stensis or a brother and Mrs. Halk or a brother and Mrs. Lofgren and say, hey, could we go out for a meal? We just want to talk. And just sit down and ask them, how did you make it 30, 40, 50 years? What did you do? What were some principles that you learned? What were some things that you would tell us at our age and at our stage? And just learn from people. You want to be a student of biblical love. If this is something that we want to know, if this is something that we want to give, if this is something that we want to excel in, then we must be a student of biblical love. Then number five, we must live out our love. We are to live out our love. Now, I want to give two strategic principles of human behavior. And I want us to understand the fact that these principles can complement each other as easily as they can contradict. So we have to understand them. We have to understand how they work. What are they? First of all, letter A, that all behavior springs from attitude, feelings, or thoughts. The human behavior principle of the fact that all behavior springs from attitude, feelings, or thoughts. Now, what does God's Word say about this, which is the essence of all truth? We'll notice it in Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of what has been put in, the mouth speaketh. From the heart, now the actions and the words come out from our heart. And the heart is the source of those actions. All human behavior springs from these attitudes, feelings, and thoughts. Romans 6:17 says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. So here's from the heart, obedience comes. Here from the heart, the mouth speaketh. So from the depths of the heart, here comes human behavior. What goes in must come out. That's a principle of human behavior. From the heart, our attitudes, our feelings, and our thoughts spring forth. Second human behavior, letter B. Actions can move the heart, producing attitudes and emotions. So from the heart, actions and feelings and attitudes are birthed. The Bible gives us principles that is true. But the other principle of human behavior says that actions can move the heart than to produce certain feelings and attitudes. Now, Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Interesting. So commit thy works to the Lord. Do specific actions, then thy thoughts will be established. So actions producing thoughts or actions producing attitude and feelings and emotions. Now you say, Brother Rule, those sound like two different principles of human behavior. And they are. And both are right and both are wrong. When it comes to human behavior in the marital relationship, what you have to have here is balance. You have to have the right things going in so that the heart in your marital relationship is producing the right attitudes, feelings, and emotions. Then you have to be committed to doing the right thing, whether you feel like it or not. Because when we do the right actions, it produces the right emotions and feelings and attitude. And a great marriage has a balance of both. I love this quote by Jim Benin. I put it in your notes. Feelings are the dividends that God pays on the investment of obedience. I love that quote. Frank and Denise are right down here in the front row. And I got to go to their beautiful new home yesterday. They had a housewarming party and they had a bunch of people there. And I just popped in for a minute, you know. And Frank found me and we greeted each other and we're talking for a minute. And he said, Brother Roy, I just want you to know God has blessed us. And I said, Frank, he has. And I told Frank and Denise yesterday, I said, you know why I think God's blessing you? Because you're obeying Him. God blesses obedience and faith. When we are obeying God, when we are living by faith, when we are moving forward, when we are growing in grace, when changes are being made, God blesses that. And when God blesses, you get a good feeling about what's happening, and that is God's blessing upon our obedience. And so in our marriages, we have to be determined. We're going to do the right thing because it's right. And when we do the right thing because it's right, God blesses that, and the feelings come. And then those feelings produce a desire to continue to do the right thing towards our spouse. Too many times in our marriages, we wait for the right feelings before we are to express the right kind of love. Now think about if God would have waited. But God didn't wait. That's not the way God worked. John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved that He gave." Because God loved you and I, He gave. And when He gave His only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life. Now, we were not deserving of that gift. We had not earned that gift. We certainly had not earned God's love. But God determined His heart to love. And then because He loved, He gave. And because He gave, the feeling is there as we enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to make sure that the actions of our life and our marriage is in obedience with God and His Word. And that we are expressing love to our spouse according to the Word of God and the principles thereof so that God can honor and bless that. If God had to bless you based on the way you loved your spouse for the last 6 days, what would that blessing look like? If it was solely on your obedience to God, if it was solely dependent upon your understanding of what God, I'm not talking about your spouse. We can all make a great case for what they need to do. It's human nature. Human nature is we're doing fine. We got to focus on them. It's not human nature to focus on us. But let's take a few minutes and focus on us, all right? The last 6 days, what do we know that is right, and how have we done? And if the blessing in our marriage is dependent solely on that, not talking about God's grace and mercy. By the way, how many are thankful for God's grace and mercy? If I got what I deserved, I'd spend an eternity in hell. So I'm thankful for God's grace and mercy. And even in my marriage, if my marriage was solely dependent upon my ability to do the right the whole time, yikes. I'm working on it, but I'm thankful for God's grace and mercy, and my wife is too, I can tell you that. But when I think about the last 6 days, if it's solely dependent upon my ability to understand and do what is right, what would that blessing look like? Sometimes we want to talk to God about where is He at, and where is the blessing, and where is this, and where is that? And I think in truth, God might look back to us and say, what are you doing? What exactly did you want me to bless? Is there faith? Is there obedience? Is there a hunger from you to know the Word of God and how to be the right husband and how to be the right wife and then a passionate pursuit to do that? Is God finding that in us? That's what He should find. He should find in us this desire to do the right thing and to live out our love. Then number six, we must have the right goal. Now this brings us to a very important question. Why is it that we want to grow our love? And if we're not careful, the selfish answer is, well, we want love to grow in our relationship so that we're loved, so that our needs are met, so that our spouse can get their act together. And sometimes our motive is a little jaded because it's really about us. And love is so important and motive is so important. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the best way to know what motive we should have is to know what does God say regarding motives. And look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians 3:12 and 13, verse 13 specifically. To the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. God's motive that our love would be increased in our marriages is not so that we feel good. It's not so that we're happy. It's not so that we can enjoy some kind of relief from the painful circumstances that we might be facing this morning. Ultimately, God's purpose for growing our love in our relationship and our marriages is holiness. God wants you and I to be holy. He wants you and I to be like Him. And if we're in this life just to be happy, we're going to be miserable. Because that fluctuates. You know, we really want rain. Then it starts raining, then we don't want rain. It's cold. We want it to be hot. When it's hot, we want it to be cold. We want this kind of food. Then we get sick, but we want that kind of a thing. I mean, if it's about happiness, there's no fixed goal. The goal is not self-happiness. The goal is holiness, that we're pleasing and honoring God and exemplifying Him in our life. And the prerequisite to that is having the right motive. James 4:3 challenges you and I, but ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Now, the way to avoid asking amiss in our marriages is to have the right motive and purpose, and that motive and purpose is holiness, and that's going to depend on our love for God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. So if we love God, and we're constrained by His love, then we want to please Him and love our spouse accordingly. In other words, we don't want to grow our love so that our spouse can be a better spouse and we can be happier. We want to grow our love so that we can be a better spouse and be more like God. That's the right motive and the right purpose. Then the last principle, principle number 7, we must be committed. We must be committed. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I want to encourage all of us this morning in His design, whether you've been here for years or today's your very first time, that when you think about your marriage relationship, if your love is going to grow and if your relationship is going to be something that God can bless, there must on the inside be a principle of commitment in your heart. Divorce is the word that should be cut out of every couple's dictionary. It should never be brought up in conversation, and it never should be considered in our mind or in our heart. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." If we are talking about something enough, if we're thinking about something enough, then it can be a result that happens in our life. And we want to make sure this morning that in our heart and in our mind that there is a principle of commitment, that we are certain that we are committed to our spouse till death do us part, as we vowed on our married day. When people entertain and express evil thoughts, then those evil thoughts become a reality in their life. Notice this quote in your notes. "Until the back door of divorce is closed, the temptation to run through it will always be there when there is trouble in the house. So instead of oiling the hinges, nail it shut and board it over. Then when conflicts arise in the marriage, you know there's no easy way out but to work through it." That is commitment. And that's a principle we must have if we're going to grow our love. Listen, we're never going to be focused and determined to grow our love like we should if we're always thinking about plan B. We're never fully going to give ourselves to our marriage and making it what it should be if we're always thinking about an exit strategy. There has to be the principle of commitment. We're in this for life. So let's work through this. And maybe there are some biblical principles that we've studied from the Word of God this morning that we could add to our relationship so that we can grow a strong love, so that we can have synergy, so that we truly can be better together. Let's this week take some time. Maybe keep this handout with us in our devotion time and study these principles. Lord, is there something that I could work on in my own life that would help me grow my love for You and for my spouse, that would make our marriage and home strong, that we might have synergy and be better together? Let's pray and ask God to do that in our hearts this week and then bring us back safely next Sunday. Heavenly Father, we sure love You. Thank You for the privilege of being together today. Lord, thank You for the faithfulness of Your people. I certainly love being here in His design. And thank You for our guests that have come to be with us today as well. And Lord, I pray now that You would work in our midst. I pray that You would help us this week to examine our lives and our relationships. Where maybe is a principle lacking that would help us grow our love, that it may abound and increase? Lord, may we be willing to open our hearts to You, to apply these biblical principles, and to live in a way that pleases and honors You more. Lord, I pray that You bless every family in here. I think of some carrying some great burdens this morning. And God, I pray that You would work mightily and show Yourself sufficient to them even today. Bless our class. Watch over them this week. Be with some that are ill at home even now. And then bring us back next Sunday as we continue to learn about this Synergy series and as we're reminded of the need of worldwide missions. Lord, we pray that You'd bless and work, and we promise to praise and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.